You're late.
Kit frowned. The voice was human, female and gravelly, and Kit knew it well. It belonged to Akmina, the bartender. Akmina was something of a celebrity on Tatooine. She'd started out as the night bartender and gone on to fame with her singing. She'd come back a while ago and had her own place now. But apparently she was still drawn to Chalmoon's, for it wasn't unusual to see her tending bar, presumably just for the fun of socializing. While there was certainly a lot of traffic in the cantina, there were many regulars as well, and they adored the gruff but cheerful woman. While she never revealed her age, everyone knew she was well into her 80s by this point. But she still had the energy of a woman much younger. It surprised and saddened Kit to realize that Akmina was involved in the sort of shady affairs that would interest her master.
Unavoidable, I'm afraid. I appear to have attracted a bit of attention.
The sound of fingers drumming gently on a table.
Attention on your company isn't a bad thing. Attention on the pilots is.
Kit gasped, and then bit her tongue. She glanced around. Fortunately, no one seemed to have noticed. Both the Bothan she had been sent to spy on and the beloved famous bartender were members of the Freedom Flight.
Indeed,
said the Bothan, his voice still soft, barely a murmur.
The pilot whose route I am presently flying has retired.
It all made sense now. Kit swallowed a lump in her throat as she realized her contact, a Rin named Torm, must have been killed by one of the organizations who stood to profit from the slave trade. It had been several weeks since he had come to Tatooine. She had simply thought it had gotten too risky for him, and he was lying low for a while. She had been right, but apparently the risk had been more dangerous than she had realized. The question was, what should she do now? She had been assigned to watch the Bothan. She'd have to report back on something, and obviously she was not about to tell Trugo the truth. She wished she knew exactly why the Hutt wanted the Bothan watched. Then she could at least make up something creative. Kit's mind gnawed on the problem even while she continued to listen intently.
I'm sorry to hear that,
Akmina said, and Kit could tell she meant it.
I'd hoped he'd found another company to do business with.
Then more loudly,
I hope you'll be as careful with the shipments of Tendonian wine as Torm was.
I've not lost a shipment yet,
the Bothan said, also more loudly, and chuckled. That was it. Kit could make up something about smuggling. She wouldn't need to implicate Akmina. She could... Kit noticed a figure across the narrow, crowded street. It seemed to have a great deal of interest in watching the door. Kit was instantly alert. She kept an eye on the figure while still pretending to be a crippled beggar and listening to the conversation. For the next several minutes, there was idle chit-chat. The figure across the alley didn't move, but did such an excellent job of blending in that once or twice Kit thought it had.
Well, I have customers to attend to, and my little Chadrafan waitress tends to get her hands full after about 20 minutes left on her own,
Akmina said.
Come back day after tomorrow, and I'll have that shipment ready for you.
Kit felt a little pang. The shipment, of course, consisted of escaped slaves. But not Tatooine slaves, not with the transmitter. Other slaves from other worlds were sequestered away somewhere on the planet, awaiting their freedom. Hers would not come for a long time, but she was resigned to that. The Bothan stepped out the door, ignoring her with a swirl of his long cape. Of course, a pilot wouldn't want to be seen showing charity or compassion. They had to maintain a tough demeanor. She watched him go, then turned her eyes back to the figure. It was gone.
Stang,
she whispered. Her heart started racing in her chest. She could stay here for a little while longer, then go back to Trugo with her falsified stories, and no one could blame her. No one except herself.